I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Swara Acacia Conservancy in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya. And we are talking about something that is of great significance to the continent of Africa, the state of deforestation and the unraveling, some say, or the lowering to mean that the Sahara Desert is moving down south. And we want to ask ourselves what impact it has from an economic standpoint. In order to appreciate that, it is important to look at the continent of Africa and look at some of the climatic zones. This is a continent that is as diverse can be. You have the massive Sahara Desert up in the north. You have the Namib Desert south. You also have semi-arid parts of the continent of Africa in the Horn, to include parts of Kenya, Somalia, to include parts even of Ethiopia a little. And the continent has dry savanna land, but the continent also has lush forests. If you go to the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is now described as the lungs of the world, is the biggest rainforest after the Amazon, and you see the big rivers. If you look at the rivers across the continent of Africa, you leave the Nile and you go to the Congo, which has one of the largest volumes of water anywhere in the world. You go to the rivers, the Senegal, the Gambia, and when you come to the eastern part, you have the Nile, and you have the little ones, the Galana, and you have many rivers, including the Limpopo down south, and many lakes. The lake which the Europeans call Victoria, and in Uganda is called Narubai, and of course in Kenya is called Lolwe, and in Rwanda is called Nyanza, is one of the biggest lakes. If you go to the lakes in Uganda, there are numerous lakes, and in Tanzania, there are numerous lakes. In the western part, of course, we are aware, I've already talked about the rivers, but the Volta is a big river there, the Niger is a big river there, and of course the Chad. But the question is, these rivers that we are talking about, these water bodies that we are talking about, knowing as we do that they are the lifeblood of the economies of many African countries, what is happening to them and what is bringing about all these things? One of them is deforestation. You know, there was a time when many African countries, not that those times are behind us, assumed that you could destroy your forest for farming purposes without consequence. We now know that if you don't take care of your forest, then you are going to suffer. We know that because we have seen Nigeria suffering because of deforestation. We have seen Kenya suffer because of deforestation. We have seen many other countries suffer because of deforestation, because when there is deforestation, a number of things happen. It affects the rainfall pattern. It affects the soil, with the consequence that you have a lot of floods in different areas. And these are some of the things that Africa has been looking at, particularly when we get into the arena of timber harvesting or lumbering without control. I know for a fact, for example, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, there are a lot of individuals and companies that are engaged in discriminate logging. And that was beginning to affect the Congo Basin in a very fundamental manner. And many governments were also engaged in the exercise of reforestation. But the reforestation was not using indigenous trees, which have the ability to hold the soil. This was tried in the savanna region, in the Sahel region. They introduced new varieties way from Burkina Faso to Senegal, and that has not helped. And one needs to analyze the impact of deforestation and the impact of the expansion of the Sahara Desert to the economies of African countries. Let us look at Chad. The Chadian basin is one of the most important basins for purposes of farming and fishing. In the last 20 years, the Chad basin has shrunk by more than 70%. The net effect is that the fisher community in those areas have no economic activity. The reason why you see, for example, in Ghana, you have this artisanal gold mining, which is polluting the waters called Galamse, is because there is no economic activity. And not only that, in the Chadian region, you come to the Nile, for example. The Nile has not had its water volume reduced in a dramatic way. But the Egyptians are now worried that if the desert continues in the manner that it is, then agriculture in Egypt is going to be affected. And as regards the Nile, we know that when the British controlled that part of the world in 1929, there was a treaty. In 1959, there was a treaty. And these treaties were designed to ensure that the use of water is controlled from the source of the Nile to mean the areas in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, even up to Ethiopia, which has the blue and white Niles. And we now know that in fact, because the Ethiopians have decided to build the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, the Egyptians are actually threatening. At one time, it was thought that there would be a war because of the waters. In other words, we are saying that because of the continued expansion of the desert and deforestation, the groundwater is being affected. And once groundwater is being affected, then the economic viability of some of these areas is compromised. We begin to see that even generation of hydroelectricity, which could be used for industrialization, is beginning to suffer. The Volta is such a dam in Ghana that now begins to suffer because of deforestation and because of the Sahara that is creeping downward. The Kainji Dam in Nigeria is also suffering because of that. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Grand Inga has not suffered because the forest is still lush and has not been affected in a very dramatic way. But if you come down south and you come to the Kariba, in the year 2024, the Kariba dried out almost 80%. What is normally referred to as the Victoria Falls, or what is known in the local language as the Mosio Tunya Falls, the smoke that thunders, was no longer thundering. And people are wondering what it is that is happening. But when you look at it very keenly, you see that the manner in which we have dealt with our forest, the indiscriminate manner in which we are cutting down trees in order to convert land into agricultural land, we are not only losing the forest, but we are also losing the soil. And we are not only losing the soil, we are also losing the water. And that, in my view, is something that is going to affect African countries in a very major way. In the East African region, if you go to a country such as Kenya, it is now emerging that most of our water bodies are either dead or dying. They are dead or dying because the wetlands have been converted into agricultural land, or the wetlands have been converted into construction sites. The net effect is that we are depleting the aquifers, and it is affecting the quality of land, and it is affecting economic activities. In the month of October, for example, in the year 2024, the countries of the Nile Basin sat and agreed that they would renegotiate some of the agreements that are in place with a view to ensuring that the waters of the Nile are used in a manner that is proper, because they are transboundary and therefore ought to be used carefully. But that is easier said than done, because in regard to the Nile waters, the Egyptians and the Sudanese have refused to sign into the framework agreement, which then begs the question, what is the economic impact of the Sahara? What is the economic impact of deforestation? Number one, water. Water is going to become a major problem in the continent of Africa in the not too distant future, simply because the quality of water is being undermined, and where people depend on groundwater, the groundwater is being depleted on a daily basis, and that has major health and economic implications. Number two, agriculture. When we are losing our soil cover, it means that the quality of soil is suffering. And it is not lost on me that in the year 2024, there was a heads of states and governments meeting in Nairobi, Kenya, at which they were discussing the question of soil quality and the impact it has in terms of agriculture, in terms of nutrition, and in terms of our ability to feed ourselves. I am saying this because as we speak now, Africa imports almost 70% of her food. We import fish from China. We import eggs from Romania. We import chicken from Brazil. We are importing chicken feed. And all these, when you look at them, are directly traceable to the impact that the expansion of the deserts have had. If you go to countries such as Botswana, where you have the Namib Desert, or you go to countries such as Namibia, you will begin to see how this is also affecting the livestock industry. People lose livestock in the millions, with the consequence that people's economic circumstances are undermined in a very dramatic way. And when that happens, the economy has major implication in terms of the health. The people no longer have good nutrition. The people no longer have the ability to be resilient. And of course, when that happens and economic opportunities are reduced, then it also has security implications. And it has never been lost on me that when you look at the countries where you have the Sahara, or countries where you have lost all these, the levels of violence are very high, because it is easy to recruit young men, and these days even young women, to participate in anti-social activities and in insurgencies because they have no economic activity. So as we look forward, it is important that Africa asks herself, what are we going to do to ensure that the desertification does not continue in the manner that it is? What are we going to do to ensure that we reforest, or afforestation is given its pride of place, so that we don't lose the soil cover? What are we going to do that we clean water and ensure that the aquifers are charged? What are we going to do on the critical question of climate change? Our participation in the conversation around climate change should not be reliant on what is happening in Europe by dint of carbon credit. We should, as a continent, ask ourselves fundamental questions, particularly in the context of Africa Agenda 2063, which promises that it will deliver Africa into an orbit of sustainable development and will ensure that we are capable of feeding ourselves. All these things are critical, and anybody who thinks that the desertification, the expansion of the Sahara, is something that we can continue to ignore must know that it is a luxury that we cannot afford. Anybody who holds the view that we can continue to cut down our trees with abject abandon, without consequence, is deluding themselves, because history and nature are very harsh, and they visit pain upon those people who ignore them. And I am of the view that the time is now to get into the arena and begin to do that which is right, to arrest desertification and to stop deforestation and begin serious programs of reforestation. The conversations on the continent of Africa on diverse issues continues apace. But let us say our goodbyes for the moment, and we see you on another occasion as we continue with the conversation.